Hallelujah. We have a sure witness today. We have the witness of God's Holy Spirit. For God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And when you're born of the Spirit, your heart will cry out, Abba, Father. Your heart will cry out for God. Even as a bird is chirping, amen, for its mom to come and feed it. Amen. I believe those birds are actually giving God praise. Amen. And God takes care of the little birdies too. Amen. He'll take care of us and what our needs are. We just need to put God first in everything. He said, if you put my business before your own, I'll take care of your business and you won't be stressed out about it. You won't have to eat Rolaids every day. Amen. You can just rest in me and know that I'm going to take care of you. Because a lot of times, let's face it, we say we believe in God, but then we just trust in ourselves for everything. Amen. And a lot of times you're going to find ourselves in life where, guess what? All the artificial security blankets, all the things that we trusted in, all the things that we leaned on, all the tricks that we had in our bag aren't going to work. They're not going to be any good because you're going to find yourself at the end of yourself someday. Amen. And what do you do then? Well, you can get high, you can get stoned, you can try to tune out, you can take a gun and end it all, or you can turn to your Creator. You can turn to God, and that's what happens in most cases. People just say, God, if you're there. How many ever prayed that prayer? God, if you're even there, if you do exist, I want to know you. But you know, we can't know Him as long as we're focused on ourselves. So God has to bring us to a place where, you know what, I'm tired of my way. You know, there are some people that are proud of their way, but there is a way, the Bible says, it seems right unto a man, but in the end is the way of death. And we've all known that way, haven't we? That's the way of self-will. It's a way of I did it my way. What a tragic way to end your life, to say that I did it my way, because my way is not the way of life. His way is the way of life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. So we've got to get past our way. We've got to get over ourselves, get over our ways, and understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's much smarter than we are, even though we may think we're pretty smart. And he's definitely more righteous than we are, more holy than we are, even though we may think we're righteous and holy. God has to bring us to an awareness of our own sinfulness before we can even become holy. He needs to bring us to a place where we're no longer depending on our own holiness to be holy with God. To where I shift away from myself as being the Savior to Jesus, who alone can save. And it's by His grace that we are saved, through our faith in God alone. It's not of us. And it's not of works. Lest any man should compare himself and boast and say, look how holy, how spiritual, how good I am. I've done all these things. I've knocked on all these doors. I've been such a good person today. Certainly God likes me a little bit more than He does that other guy. Have you seen that guy? Have you seen how he's acting, how he's living? Oh, come on. Of course, none of us here have ever compared ourselves to somebody else, but I have. Until God got a hold of me one day and took the blinders off my eyes and let me see how wretched and miserable and poor and blind I was. And how I needed Him. I needed His holiness. And I needed to get over myself and quit trying to depend upon myself to be right, to be holy. You know, you got the people who are, we call them the holier-than-thous, you know, that are out there. That they do that. They just think that I'm just a little bit better. I'm a little bit more holy. Why? Because their focus is on themselves. And you can always I probably compare yourself to somebody that's maybe a little less fortunate than you are. And feel better about yourself. But we shouldn't be focusing on man. We need to be focusing on God. You know, He's the perfect one. He's the holy one. And if you want to know what normal really looks like, let me just give you a word of advice. Don't look at the psychoanalyst manual, okay? Just stay out of that book on mental illness. Because by the time you get done looking at that thing, everybody's crazy. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to know what normal is, don't look to some shrink somewhere who thinks that he's normal and everybody else needs his help to get normal. Come on, somebody. We got to look at the normal one, amen, the perfect one, the holy one, Jesus Christ. He was the perfect man, the only perfect one, without sin. And he demonstrated to us what it is to walk with God, because he was God in harmony with the Father. I and my Father, he said, are one. Oh, the Jews wanted to crucify him way before the time. They took up stones. They wanted to stone him because he said, you being a man claim to be God. He didn't say, I'm God. He said, by what he said, they knew that he was telling them, this is who I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Oh, how can you say you were here before Abraham? Or you existed before Abraham? You would have to be making yourself to be God to say such a statement as that. And that is the mystery. And that is the miracle of Christmas that we just celebrated, amen, is that God became man, incarnate. God, who is a spirit, took on skin, amen, just like you and I. And he said, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father also. He came to present the Father's heart to us. Before that, all we had was text messaging. Right? All we had was the written law, and people couldn't know the heart of God except that God would reveal himself through his Spirit. The same thing is true here. You know, we can write letters and write books to people, but sometimes it's hard to capture the heart of a person if you're not listening to their voice. You just get text messages. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get those messages sometimes, you're just like, what did you mean by that? And the person might have had completely good motivation. They may have even been maybe saying something that was a compliment. But if you didn't know the heart of the sender, you could come up with all kinds of variations. And so Jesus came to reveal the Father to us so we could know what God was really like. Come on. And the very people that were teaching other people about this God, who they really didn't know, they knew him in theory, but they didn't know him in reality. He comes and he reveals himself, and they didn't even recognize him. They didn't know who he was. Who is this imposter? So if you want to be normal, you got to look at the normal one. And I'm telling you that the more that I look to Jesus, the more that I trust in him, the more that I rely upon him and lean on him. Yes, I do rely. I do lean on him. Because I know in myself there's no good thing. So my righteousness has to come from him. Come on, somebody, right? And the more that I do that, the more my what used to be normal to me becomes abnormal. And what was abnormal to me is now my normal. And then people don't get you. If they're living in abnormality and you're living a normal life, what does normal look like? It looks like Jesus. So the more that we walk like him, the more that we come to know him, the more our lives will become normal. But I'm not looking to some shrink. I'm not looking to some person who thinks they're an expert that charges thousands of dollars to come to their seminar so they can tell you what's wrong with you and talk about how good they are sometimes. If I have any goodness, I've got to give God the glory for that. Amen. If I have any righteousness, if I have any holiness, I've got to give God the credit for it. Why? Because holiness is not from me. It's not of me. My holiness is Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ alone. I don't place my trust in institutions, organizations, church denominations. I put my faith, my confidence in Christ alone. He is my righteousness today. Hallelujah. So my confidence is in Christ and not in self. If I'm going to boast, I can't boast and say, well, look how good I did this week. Brother, let me tell you about my victorious week. Well, I did this and I did that and I. Come on, somebody. We get to say him. Amen. It's because of Jesus that I'm a new creation today. It's because of Jesus that my heart has been changed so much. He's still working on me. How about you? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's still working on you. We'll find out how self-righteous they are right away. Huh? But we've got to come to a place of, you've heard it said, where we're not living in denial anymore. We're not living in some fantasy world, and we're not kind of putting ourselves in some kind of pedestal that's artificial. We're not giving ourselves grace and calling that good. Well, I'm pretty righteous. I should be. You're talking to people. They think naturally that they're pretty good and pretty righteous, and because of that, I should go to heaven. Well, I just believe in the golden rule and being a good person and hardworking and obey the laws. And well, good. That's all good and that's right and we should. But that doesn't save you. You can't save yourself. And God has to bring you to a place where you realize that you can't. And when you come to the place where you realize you can't, then He can. God has to remove the veil from our eyes, the blinders, and give us a good glimpse of reality. And that's what Jesus did for me. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, guess what? This world isn't paradise. But you can have heaven in your heart if you have Christ. And He can give you peace even in the midst of a storm. He's the anchor of our soul. Amen. That is steadfast and sure. And I'm thankful for the Lord in my life and that I do have a friend in Jesus. That all my sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Because God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. He wants us to commune with Him. He has something He wants to say to us all. And I pray today that God will open our understanding and reveal His heart to us through His Word. And I wanted to revisit really the vision I feel that God has given us as a church. And I believe you're going to bear witness with this word today. We're entering into 2018 and it's just like, wow, where have the years gone even, you know? How quickly life goes by. And I had this saying that's over my desk that some of you are very familiar with, but it says, one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so we need to really understand and get a hold of God and understand who we are and what our purpose is, why we're here, because the days are evil and we need to redeem the time. We need to make the most of every opportunity God has given us, for we only have a short window of opportunity. You see, there is this thing called a door of opportunity, and God does open doors. But if we don't take advantage of the open door, that will pass by you. And there are people who live their lives always wondering, well, I know God has a purpose for me, but I wonder what it is. How many would agree with me that it's a good idea to discover what your purpose is? Amen. And it's not just about making money and having a comfortable life, because that's all going to be gone someday. And the only thing that's going to last forever is the will of God and those who do the will of God. That's what Jesus said. And so this is the vision of God's church. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Haggai 1 and verse 2. One of the minor prophets. And he was addressing the people who were preoccupied with their own business while the business of God lay in ruins. And I believe this is a word for us. It's a word for America, for the church in America, that we're very easily seduced, drawn away into temporal things because we have so much that's available to us 24/7, entertainment, media. You know, we can spend ourselves on vain things, and before you know it, your life can be gone, it can be over, and you can look back and say, well, what have I really accomplished for God? Because only what's done for Him is going to be eternal. Would you say amen to that? So God says here, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come. The people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now the people, I believe it was like for 16 years, they had come out of Babylonian bondage. God had set them free and was bringing them back into the land, and God wanted them to rebuild the temple. And so they had set about to build the temple. But somewhere along the process, they must have grown weary or they got distracted. And all of a sudden, everybody started running off to their own paneled houses, doing their own thing. And they were neglecting the temple of God or the work of God. That temple represents the body of Christ today. Paul said, "Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" God's plan, God's purpose for every one of us here today in Christ is that we would be builders together with Christ in the harvest. We would be gathering in, amen, the wheat. We will be making disciples, but we'll be building up His household, which is His people, which is His church. I know people have made it a religious thing and that it's all about building programs and having more numbers and having more money. It's not about that. It is about building people. That's what we've been called to do. Amen? God will take care of the logistics if we take care of His business. We don't have to get up here and beg people to give and do any of this because we know that God takes care of us if we take care of what He tells us to do. The same thing is true in your personal life. God will take care of your needs if you'll take care of His business. And you will prioritize that above your own. It's very true. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you as well." So whatever you have need of, God will supply. But you need to first put Him before everything else. And so they put their personal business ahead of God's. And you know, the same thing is very easy to happen today. Because let's face it, we are busy people, aren't we? Now my question is this, are you busy with things that really matter? Or do sometimes we allow things in our lives to keep us busy and distracted that really have no eternal value and really is not even something that God wants you to do? You see, sometimes we can do good things in life. You can have hobbies and interests, okay? But what happens sometimes is they take priority over the most important things, which are the eternal things of God. The will of God, the purpose of God, the building up of the body of Christ is the number one priority. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." He didn't say, "Go and make followers, church followers." I mean, he said, "Make followers of me. Make disciples, learners." We're supposed to be building one another up. Amen? My priority is you. Did you understand that? Your priority is God's people. It's not me. It's Jesus first. It's others. And then it's me, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you. Amen. Well, that means I have to deny myself. But when I deny myself that which I can't keep, I can gain that which I can't lose. I know that was a paraphrase of a Jim Elliot thing, but I thought that was pretty good. See what was happening here in Haggai's day. There's nothing new under the sun. People are people. They're people, the same kind of people then, or same kind of people today. But everybody was distracted. Everybody was kind of doing their own thing. And they were oblivious to really what God was hoping that they would involve themselves with. And so what happened is with everything that they attempted to do in their life ended up being vain and empty. In other words, they spent themselves pursuing things that they thought would satisfy them, but they just found themselves being empty. It didn't satisfy. Because hear it, the only thing that's going to truly bring satisfaction in your life is God's will for you. That you are doing what God has called you to do. In that you will find fulfillment, satisfaction, doing the meat or the will of the Father. Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. What satisfies, what fills me is not pursuing the things of the world. Did you see that in Jesus' life? He didn't pursue the things of this temporary world. He came because he had a divine mission to do the Father's will. And then as he went away, he said, now as the Father has sent me, I'm now sending you to do likewise, to follow in my footsteps. I've given you an example of how I want you to live now. And only that is going to last forever. I don't want to stand before God someday. And God says, well, what did you do with what I gave you? And I want to have a good answer. And the Lord will know because there will be fruit. How many know that Jesus said it glorifies the Father when we bear fruit? Amen. John 15. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So what kind of fruit are we bearing? You know, you're going to bear fruit. Every tree bears fruit. What kind of fruit do I produce in my life? Do I produce the fruit of His Spirit because I abide in Him, because my goal is to live for Him now? Or do I produce the fruit of myself because I'm really selfish and self-centered and I live only for myself? And I may do an occasional church thing or an occasional religious thing, you know, just to kind of appease the man upstairs, as some may say. Well, you know, that doesn't please the Father at all. What pleases the Father is that you have a heart that really loves Him and that wants to be with Him and that wants to obey Him. That's what pleases the Father. Why? Because the Father is in love with you. The Father loves you. God does love you. And He wants you to be with Him. He doesn't want you giving yourself away to other lovers, other gods, other things that you're spending yourself on when God has an inheritance that He wants to give you someday. He has something eternal that never fades or perishes for you and for those who have sown in this life and have lived for Him in this life. They will enter into their reward. But for those who have just lived for themselves and did a little religious thing once in a while, there's coming a day, guess what? When we're going to see God and He is going to ask you, well, what did you do with what I gave you? With the abilities I gave you, with the talent I gave you, with the spiritual anointing that was on your life. Did you just get that anointing so you can speak in tongues and look spiritual? Or did you receive that anointing so that you could work even harder to honor God? To store up for yourself treasures in heaven. You see, we've got to get our eyes off the temporal and onto the eternal. And so God said in verse 3, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Listen, verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. In other words, they were never satisfied in the things that they were pursuing because they were not the higher purpose of God. It was not the will of God. Do you get it? How many... I know this is speaking to us today. And sometimes the things that we have pursued and worked so hard for, and then you achieve them, you say, now what? What's next? I got this thing that I spent myself on, and now I got it, and it's like the new toy on Christmas morning. You know? After a little while, guess what? That thing is getting beat up and worn out, and it sits in a toy box, and who cares anymore? I just want a new toy. And you get the new toy, and the same thing happens because it's all temporal. And it really doesn't satisfy you. It only gives you a temporary sense of satisfaction. But the will of God is eternal. And God says, I have something superior for you. I have something so much better for you. If you would seek me and know my heart and my will for your life, it is way beyond what you expect for yourself. And you cannot know my will unless you're willing to come to me and to seek me. And if you seek, you will find. We live in a microwave society. We just want to kind of go through the drive-through heavenly window and give our, give in our order, and then we're on our way. And well, what's the delay here? Is somebody sleeping behind the window there? Jesus said, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Amen. Because God will open up the door in His time, in His season. And God will reveal to you His heart, His plan, His will. Because so many times we are like people that have blinders on. And we're just occupying space. We're just spending ourselves maybe just watching television or playing video games. And before we know it, life is over. And what have we done with the time that God gave us? I don't know about you, but I do want to bear fruit. I do want to have a treasure in heaven. I do want to see Jesus in that day smiling and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have sown your life in this world. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You have given up the temporary so that you could have the eternal. That's what we want. And I know in your heart today you're saying, that's what I want. I want to live for that which really matters. And that is eternity. So God said in verse 7, consider your ways. In verse 8, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. He says, go up to the mountains and bring wood. They were to work together to build, amen, a literal, physical temple on the earth. But God told them to do that because that temple was to represent Christ and His people. You see, they did things in the old covenant as shadows or types of that which would be fulfilled in the new covenant, in a relationship with Jesus. You and I are the temple or the building of God, and we need to go up to the mountain. We need to approach the Father, and we need to receive the grace, the supply, amen, that we need so that we'll have an abundance, amen, to be involved in working together in building up God's body. God's eye is on you. His eye is on His church. He wants to have a glorious church without spot or blemish. And He's calling you. He's calling me to come together to build His church. God called Noah and his family. And He separated them and He called them to build the ark. And it was only the ones who were involved in the work that were on that ark when the floods came. They were not distracted. They were not seduced by the temporal things. They were living for the purpose of God. And the people probably mocked them. I'm sure they did. And mocked at them and say, you fools. We're out here partying and having a good time and doing our own thing and living a selfish life. And here you are spending yourself on something that you've never seen before. It's never rained before. Are you crazy? You see, when it's going good and the sun is shining and life is good, sometimes we can forget that things can change in a moment. And one day it began to rain. And God brought him and his family aboard the ark. And God Himself sealed that door. You understand? Once God closes the door, you're not going to open it. God opens the door and He gives you a window of opportunity, a season in your life to live out and fulfill the will of God for your life. But there comes a day when the door will be closed. And there'll be many, Jesus said, that will stand at the door and they'll knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Are you hearing it today? This is what God is saying. God is calling us as His people to love one another. Love means I don't live for me. I live for you. I live for building up and being involved in the will of God. What was His commandment? It was love. It was for love that Jesus came and died on that cross. It was because He loved us that much, He was willing to lay down His life for us. Now He's saying, now you take up your cross and follow me. And the day will come when those who have served me, I will have you to sit down at my table. And I will gird myself and I will serve you. Lord, we want to obey you. God, we ask you to remove the veil from our eyes today and let us see the eternal vision of God for us. And as a body, God, you've given us an instruction. You have called this church. You have raised this up. You have planted this here, God, for a reason. And God, I pray that everyone in this house today will understand, God, that this is our responsibility, that we would build up your house. We're not doing it to make a name for a man. We're doing it to glorify the Lord, to bring a return to you, Lord, for all that you suffered and paid for in blood. Lord Jesus, you gave your life so that we can now live for you. If you hear His voice today, do not harden your heart. See that you don't refuse Him who speaks from heaven. I'm speaking to you today by the Holy Spirit. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. You see, we're not prioritizing God's kingdom. We're prioritizing our own kingdom. Without even realizing it. Many times we are building our lives around ourselves and not even aware of it. We're not concerned about the things of God like we should. He says in verse 4, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, in this temple to lie in ruins? Couple questions for you. Number one is ask yourself, what is God speaking to me personally about today? See, already as I've been speaking, the Lord has been dealing with your heart. And some people are going to resist them. Some people will mock or scorn or just blow it off and justify what they do. And other people will have a humble heart, an obedient heart, and say, you know, Lord, I'm going to take this to heart. I'm going to repent. And I'm going to get back in the race. I'm going to get back in the plan and the will of God. And I'm not going to let that devil lie to me one more day. I'm not going to let him rob from me one more day. I'm going to live for God because I know what I do for him according to his will is that which will last forever. And before you know it, hallelujah, it's going to be over. Amen. And we're going to see the King. Every knee will bow in that day and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even those who worship Satan and Satan himself will bow his knee and confess to God that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus is coming not to be mocked and crucified and scorned, but he's coming as King of Kings and he's coming as Lord of Lords. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. He shall establish his rule and every knee will bow to him. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because there's joy in the Lord. There's peace in the Lord. There's contentment in the Lord. There's everything that you desire and more in Him, but you're not going to find it in the things that you pursue that are just temporary things. Ask yourself this question today, am I building God's kingdom? Am I a part? Is anybody thinking about maybe we should invite somebody to come to church today? Why do I gather with God's people? Is it just for my own personal edification? Is it just to have my needs met? Or is it for something greater than myself? Is it for the purpose of building God's kingdom or my own kingdom? You see, the people took heed and they came together and they decided to build, to get back. To build, amen, the temple of God. They came to a realization that they were not the center of it all. But they were part of something bigger than themselves. The kingdom of God is much bigger than we are. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes as believers, we can get self-centered, can't we? And think that everything just kind of revolves around my feelings. And we can get into pity parties. Woe is me. I've been there, so have you. We got to get our eyes off self. Can't live for self and live for Jesus simultaneously. But I found out that when I'm living for Jesus, life is good in the zone. Life is good in the God zone. You got to get into the zone, amen? Don't listen to that devil. Don't let him rob you anymore. See, the devil tells people they can't be free. They can't get out. I got news for you today. Jesus is able. He's more than able. He can set the captive free. He can break every yoke. It requires a repentant heart. It requires you and I coming to the end of ourselves and say, God, I give up. I quit. I'm not doing it my way anymore. I'm ready to follow you, Jesus. God knows your heart. What is the church? Ecclesia. Called out ones. We've been separated for what? For a purpose. To glorify the Lord. God is making you and I into a habitation of Him in the Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit dwelt in the temple of old, but today He dwells in people. Hallelujah. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are an expression of God's heart in the earth. And so God says to His children, I want you to come together because I've called you to a body. I've called you to something bigger than yourself. That all of you will do your part and work together and build my house. Amen. Build one another because He's coming for a church without spot or blemish. He's coming for a people that are ready for Him. Hallelujah. Are you looking for Jesus today? Salvation, healing, deliverance, sanctification, holiness, worship gatherings, Bible studies, fellowship meetings, evangelism. Everything we do should be for the purpose of building up the corporate habitation of God, which is His church. Amen? It's all about that. It's no longer about me. That's why Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ. He came to the end of Himself. He said, I've discovered something far superior than all the things that I had achieved and accomplished in the natural, even being a religious leader and a Pharisee of the Pharisees. All his educational background, he says, it's dung compared to knowing Christ. And even to the fellowship of His sufferings, he says, it's so much superior to what I had thought I had accomplished or achieved in myself. He realized that in himself he could not do it. He could not be holy enough. He could not be righteous. And even when he thought he was doing God a favor, he was actually working against what God was doing. He persecuted the church. And God knocked him off, didn't he? Knocked him down, humbled him, turned him around, rose him up, and used him, hallelujah, in a mighty way to reach many with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many here are willing to run this race with Jesus, to get in the race? Maybe you've been on the sidelines observing. Maybe you're just kind of doing an occasional thing with God. How many here are understanding that soon and very soon you're going to see God? How many are here to say, you know what? I want to live for God. I want to honor God. I want to give my life for God because that's the only thing that matters. I know people are not going to understand. People say, oh, you got too much religion. You're just too carried away about this. You're a Jesus freak. Guilty as charged. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. People need the Lord. People need to know that there's a real hell, but there's a heaven, and God wants them to go there. But as long as we're trusting in ourselves and looking to ourselves to be righteous, you'll never make it. You've got to come to the end of yourself and say, I can't save me. I can't work hard enough, long enough to save me. I need God to save me. I need God to change my heart. And when my heart is changed, my life will change. Otherwise, I'm just a hypocrite. I'm just pretending to be something that I'm really not inside. Only God can change your heart. See, we all learned how to schmooze. We've all learned a little bit of how to act and to pose at times, you know. We're around this people, we act that way. We're around these people, we act that way because we want them to think we're like them. We're chameleons sometimes, you know, just changing with our surroundings. God wants you to be changed on the inside, amen? And He wants that change to reflect on the outside in your walk. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you produce. It's something He produces because you walk with Him, because you have a relationship with Him, because you are a worshiper of God. You are a prayer warrior. Hallelujah. Amen? You can't give away anything you don't have, and you can't be something you're not. You can pretend, but it doesn't make any difference, does it? No eternal value in pretending. It's a hypocrite. An actor. So God's eye is on His church. In the Old Testament, the temple, I said it already, but it was a type of the church. What was in the physical, I mean there, a literal building that was made, they would actually take stones from a quarry to build this temple. They were not actually chiseled on site except just to conform them to the other stones. But they would chisel them off site and they would cart these huge stones to the temple mount, to the place where they were going to build. Because it was not something that man was capable of doing. It was something that God was going to do. In other words, you and I may have some ideas of how to build the church. We may have some ideas of how to serve God. Oh, I'll serve God this way, I'll serve God that way, but I'm not going to serve God that way. How many know that it's not up to you? Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. So God wants to build His church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If God is doing it, if God is building it, it will stand. What's our responsibility? We are the laborers. We are the workers. We're the ones that need to go out and get the supplies, amen, and bring them in. We need to tell the people, amen, bring the people, amen. Go to God and receive the grace you need to serve Him, amen, because you can't do it in your own wisdom and your own strength. And many religions today are teaching people that you just got to work harder and work longer and meditate longer and you're going to achieve nirvana. You're going to find this wonderful place of peaceful bliss. But when the people came together to build this temple, amen, they had to build it according to the specs that God gave them. Amen. And they could not build this church, I'm saying the church, individually. It was a group effort. Do you understand that this is a group effort? Building up the body of Christ requires a body gathered. And I want to challenge you to really start rethinking and prioritizing the building of people and our gathering together unto Him. And maybe rearranging some things so we can be here when we're together, because that's when a lot of ministry takes place. There's a lot of things that happen, guys, through the week. We have meetings on Wednesday. We have a discipleship on Thursday. We have a prayer meeting on Friday. And things happen. People get touched. People get healed. People get edified. And sometimes you may not get anything personally out of it, but just the satisfaction that I was there to encourage and support what God has called us to do as something bigger than ourselves, corporately. If I'm speaking the truth today, say amen. Amen. I'm challenging every one of us here to make, it's a new year coming, to make the full commitment to this church and to the vision that God has given us, to make disciples, to win the lost, to build, to serve one another, to use the gifts God gave us. I know not all of it's going to take place in here, but that's part of it. Amen. We've got missions out here. When we leave this building, we're entering the mission field. But how many know there's a mission field right here this morning? My brother is my responsibility. I want to do what I can to build you, to encourage you, to do what God has called you to do. Why? Because I know that all of us someday are going to see Jesus. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. As a pastor, my responsibility is simply to equip. It's not to do all the ministry, it's to equip you to do the ministry. Amen? But I need you here. I need you part of it. You need to commit yourself to being here and to encouraging others. Get on the phone. Somebody's not here. Somebody's hurting. Somebody's missing for some reason. I can't handle it all, folks. I need you to come together, amen, with the vision that God has given us, because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. I hope you know that. For the purpose of building up the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, you and I are not capable of growing healthy individually. Let me read it again. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do we come to completion? How do we come to maturity? Through the coming together of the body of Christ. And each member doing its part, taking its responsibility. Amen. I'm hoping today that God is stirring up in you the gift of God. He's stirring your heart today to say, you know what? I'm hearing what God is saying, and I'm going to commit myself. I'm not just going to make a New Year's resolution this morning, but I'm going to commit myself to do what God has called me to do, and that is to be a builder, to get involved in the process of building up the body of Christ. I'm going to be a builder of God's ark. That ark represents Christ and His body. Amen? They were building up, amen, that habitation of God in the Spirit. And so likewise today, we are calling, and the challenge is, would you say yes? Would you respond? Would you not just say yes today and forget it tomorrow, but would you really commit yourself and say, you know what? Even I'm not going to feel it like it sometimes, but I'm not in it for me. I'm not just in it for what I can get or how I feel today. I'm in it because I'm here for other people, and I'm here to do the will of my Father in heaven. I'm here to bear fruit, and bearing fruit sometimes is painful because it requires me to deny myself to do so. There's days when I don't want to do what God calls me to do, but whenever I do what He tells me to do, I'm glad I did it. I find my joy is His strength in my life because God meets me in the place where He told me to be. Are you going to be where God told you to be? Are you going to do what God tells you to do? That means be where He tells you to be. If we're gathering, then you gather. Amen? Because together we can advance the kingdom of God. We can destroy the works of the devil. And we can do a great wonder. Amen? For God in this city. I want to see this city saved. How about you? Amen? We want to see our saved, our loved ones saved. We want to see our family members saved. Brought into Christ. Amen? They got to get on the ark because time is running out. The day is coming when God is going to close the door. Today is the day of God's favor. God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. Are we going to respond now? Or are we going to be like so many that say, one of these days, and they walk out that door, and guess what? None of these days never comes. And one day they look back and say, my life is gone. It's over. What can I do now? Well, guess what? If you've got life and breath, you've got purpose. You've got hope. Amen. You got life and breath. You're here. You're able to get out of bed this morning. Amen. And even if you can't get out of bed, you can enter into your priestly office and you can pray. Amen. You can intercede. People are sick at home today. I understand that. But you know what you can do? You can be praying and interceding. Amen. For what's going on in here today. But don't give yourself grace. Let it be the grace that God gives you. If God says you stay home, you stay home. Amen. But make sure you're listening to the right voice, because my Bible says we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. And that's God's word. It's not my word. But I know it's important because let me ask you a question real quick. How many here are excited when you've seen everybody show up? How many would say it makes a difference when more people come to church? Okay. So let that be a word. Get a hold of that today. Amen? This is not to shame or to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm trying to inspire you. I'm trying to encourage you to understand that the most important thing is the will of God for you. To discover that, to know that, to live that. And don't let that devil lie to you anymore. Tell you that you can't. God says you can. If you come to me, I'll break the chains. A lot of people have been trapped in the old cult and they think, oh, I just can't get out of this thing. Oh, you don't know our God. We're talking about the Most High God. We're talking about the Everlasting Father. Amen. We're talking about Him who has all power, all authority, who rules and reigns. Amen. On high. Principalities and powers all subject to Him. And in the name of Jesus Christ, every demon will flee. Every chain can be broken. If we have a repentant heart, a humble heart, God can set you free. Amen. You're willing to surrender your life to Him. Let Him have it. Whatever He has, He can save. Whatever He has, He can bless. Whatever He has, He can multiply and make you such a blessing in this world. I have decided. How about you? I made up my mind. I've repented today. Hallelujah. How many know that people that love you tell you the truth? How many know that sometimes when you correct people you love, they don't always like it? Sometimes it makes them mad. But I'd rather you be mad today so you can be glad tomorrow. Amen? Because it's really not about me today. I care about you enough to tell you the truth. God doesn't want a lukewarm church. He said He'll spit it out. I want this church to be red hot on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen. In this coming year, we're really going to put an emphasis on revival and awakening and returning to the altar, returning to God. Amen. And obeying the voice of Jesus, being a builder in His kingdom. Amen. Reaching out and touching hearts and lives outside these walls. Amen. And letting people know that there is an answer. Hallelujah. And no, you're not capable of doing it apart from Him. That's why you need to be on fire for God. You need that gift of God stirred up within you, amen? Or you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You can't really serve God in your flesh, amen? You got to have the Spirit of God within you, because the Spirit of God in you will motivate you to do His will. You'll desire it. You'll want to be in church. You'll want to pray. You'll want to be in the Word. You'll want to share with others what Jesus has done for you. Why? Because His Spirit is motivating your heart. The love of God is compelling you because His love has been shed abroad in your heart. You can't be full of Jesus and full of yourself. We have to make a determination or a decision today. Who am I going to serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to be blessed this year. I want you to have an abundance of fruit, and I want you to have an abundant welcome in heaven. Amen. God wants that for you. But He says, I won't force you. I simply invite you to come. Would you bow your head right now and just say, Lord, I'm coming to You right now. I want to commit my life to You. I want to give You my heart, my mind, my body. I surrender to You once again. Lord, I ask You to consume me with Your holy presence. Let Your love be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Grieve me with the things that grieve You. And rejoice my heart in the things that rejoice You. I thank You, Father, that You accept me, because You said, if I come to You, You would not reject me. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. That means You lead now. You rule now. You decide now. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.